Proper Sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
Win!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
It's off. Sidestepped.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening and welcome along. It's that time of week again. 2 hours live rugby league debate. I'm not quite sure what we're going to talk about this weekend. Well done to the Leeds Rhinos there. I've said it now and instantly I feel some remorse. No, I don't. Honestly, well played Leeds. Deserved winners on the day. Phil Kaplan is here. That Scoy's here with his Leeds scarf on. Hopefully it chokes him quite quickly. And Richard is here as well. The question to Richard is, would you rather see Wigan win it than Leeds? But I joke, no Sam Tompkins in the England team. A split in the camp as to whether he should be in or not. Well done, Leeds. What happened to Cass? Zach Hardacre. Oh, dear. And the England side, all to be discussed. The World Cup is not far away. The rugby season hasn't ended just yet. We'll be picking the bones out of Old Trafford at the weekend. We'll have to put Wiscoe gloating, I fear, for an hour or two, possibly. But well done, Leeds. Eighth grand final. How good is Danny Maguire? And why are Leeds letting him go? What are they doing? What are they doing? We'll discuss that and more. It's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. At RL on RY on Twitter. Lots and lots of people been getting in touch about the England World Cup squad. Have your say. And you can get in touch on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. It's Mark, Rich, Phil and the legends.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Just a minute's silence, I think we should have at the start of the show. But no, we go. Rich, would you rather Wigan had won the grand final than Leeds? Or?
Wigan. Yeah, because I've got to see Wigan. So, because I have been. Because as we know, you, dear listener, the most important people listen to this programme. But apparently, important people within the sport of rugby league.
Yeah, they do.
And people who are important and people who think they're
any
important. People who are important and people who think they're important listen to this programme. And some of these people,
we're under surveillance.
Some of these people think we're very negative about the Leeds Rhinos, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Never, never.
Just because I don't like Leeds doesn't mean
any
I can't
up, sure, right? Any up, forgive me.
We've got to balance out. We're the yin to their yang, sadly.
Do you know what, fellas? Listen,
Leeds only winning the red.
The man who said Castleford would win by 20 wants to open the show.
I've got to confess, you fellas, because through the week, I was a little bit upset, and when I was very upset, and to be honest, I needed a bit of a pick me up at the weekend, and certainly Leeds Rhinos have done that because, yeah, I've a confession to make, fellas. I'm a big Emmerdale fan, and do you know what? I didn't realise one of my best actors, and I was absolutely heartbroken when he got killed.
He didn't die, you know, in real life.
But Finn Barton, honestly, I had tears coming down my eyes when Finn died, and do you know what? At the weekend, it was just to pick me up what I needed. The Leeds Rhinos winning exactly the grand final ever, so I confess I'm an Emmerdale fan, but Finn Barton, boy oh boy, did I need a pick me up. But I tell you what, I got a massive pick me up with the weekend with that great victory. But also as well, Phil, you're right. Everybody knows exactly what I wrote in the column, Castleford by 20 points.
Has it been called the kiss of death?
Even somebody in League Express has wrote, it's the curse. It's the curse of Schofield. But Phil Kaplan was on record as saying, and I'll repeat it, Phil, yes, I was in the long room after the whole game, and what did I predict, Phil? 28-16.
Yeah, you said 32-12 last week.
That's because you wanted to get out
alive. No, that was in the League Express. But exactly, I was in the long room after the whole game. I predicted Leeds would win 28-16. So,
So basically, you've predicted both teams.
You couldn't lose, that's basically.
Well, is that what you did?
Do you know what?
I'll tell you what, that's top
Mark, punditry, Mark,
that
do you know what? Do you know what, Mark and Phil? It's exactly like Leeds were on Saturday. It's been smart. But I needed to pick me up after Finn Barton. I was absolutely tears rushing down my eyes. And I tell you what, tears of joy on Saturday night. We might see the Rhinos doing the business.
And no doubt we will talk about the influence that Zach's absence had on the way Castleford played. And we'll talk about the fact that the occasion seemed to get to them.
But I think you have to start by acknowledging that that was almost a perfect 80-minute grand final performance.
Phil, it was perfect.
In the conditions.
It was perfect, Phil.
It wasn't pretty. Three of the four tries came from kicks, but goodness me, it was effective. And I think that to win an eighth grand final in 13 years or 14 years in a salary cap sport deserves the
anyway, that's enough Leeds now, so we've got to talk about
the Phil, the listeners don't like Leeds, so let's not talk about Leeds.
Do you know what, Phil? As you mentioned there, Phil, some people are saying, well, you know, Phil, it might have been a little bit boring, but it was just the perfect way to play the grand final. Exactly.
You know, we remember the old... reminiscent of 2014 in the Challenge Cup final when the same two teams met, and the second half, all Kevin Sinfield did was say, we're not losing this. And we'll slow the game down if we need to, we'll quicken it. Cooking it up if we need to, we'll kick for position if we need to, but we ain't going to lose. And I we'll talk about maybe the key moments in the game. I just thought that drop goal right on half time, which put Leeds two scores ahead. You looked at the way the teams came off at the interval, and Leeds, aware of the surroundings, the need to run off and show energy, and Casford looking around going, I don't know, even with Zach gone, how are we going to get two scores back? And walked off. And you just thought, there's something about the intensity of the defence in the first half, the way Danny Maguire ran and controlled the game, and the performances of people like Stevie Ward, and I must mention Jack Walker, to play in such an accomplished manner in only your 12th game, barely 18. I just thought Leeds got everything right on the night. And and I thought the debate about, oh, we now need to go first past the post. No, that's a sign that can do better. A side that can do both. Also, that's the champions.
I think as well in that first half, I think two big points for me were, and yeah, you mentioned it, when Danny Maguire put that drop goal over, you could see the Casford body language just go, oh, we can't handle this. Leeds are playing too smart for us. But I just felt there were two big points in that first half. Certainly when, all right, a bit of luck when they put the kick across and Ryan Hall tried to volley it and Liam Suckley picked the ball up. He put a nice little grubber through and they just didn't seem the enthusiasm and commitment from Minikin to stop the ball going into the in-goal area at first, but then the force to drop out and then Max Shane trying to be a little bit too clever, picking a one-handed ball up there, good field position, confident mistake. And when that happened, you could just see the Leeds players look at the Cas players and say, tell you what, you ain't going to beat us here
but
tonight.
Leeds did it on the back of the intensity of their defence in the first half. The collisions, the physicality of the game. Leeds have done that in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Their defence has got to grand final intensity, and that's not a Leeds that Casford have seen in the previous four meetings this year. And I think, again, it made players make mistakes they haven't made all year.
Also as well, we've mentioned that word, I think, smart now 3 or 4 times. Let's go back to March when we know what happened. 66-10, when Mr. Shaw Wright and Mr. Wilson to our right hand side was absolutely gloating because, you know, we'd been absolutely hammered. But then...
It's all right, just wake us up when you...
We'll give you a call about 5 to 8 when we finish. But after that game, it was very smart from Coach Matt Dermott and very smart from Chief Executive Gary Evanson. When Matt Dermott says, I wouldn't expect my under-19s to concede the points what we've conceded here. And then Gary Evanson says, put it out to all the supporters, we'll give it a month and see where we are. What did Leeds go and do? Straight away after that game, I reckon, what the Leeds player did themselves, took it on board, took the responsibility and realised that they've got to stop sulking for what happened in 2016, and they realised they were a better side what they showed that night. Class from Matt Dermott, class from Harrington, by saying, we're going to be smart here, we're not going to panic, we're not going to press the press button, panic button. And then what happened? The week after, they hammered Catalans by 40-odd points. The week after, they went to the cake on 50-odd points. And the other two games they played, they hammered there from there. So it all steadied the ship. And then this just built up. And built, okay, they haven't been at the best week in and week
Scully,
out at times.
Scully, get on with it. Honestly, you're boring me.
They haven't been at the best week in and week out. But then, when it comes to, as what we all know, quite simply, sheer quality and simply the best.
And got better every week in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Whereas I would say is one of the issues with the eights, and particularly Cass in the eights this year, that they were so good during the regular season that the 4 games after they'd won the League Leaders Shield, they didn't have that level of intensity because they didn't have to win them. And that's not their fault, but was that a handicap for them when it came to going into Old Trafford and Leeds had used certainly the games against Salford and Huddersfield. They looked suddenly like a team that were steely and determined.
I think as well, also when I did the column last week in the League Express, when you looked at it, I had all the Casper players between 8 and 9,
yeah,
and Leeds players from 7 and 8. But then when you come to it, when you handle the big games, boy oh boy, this week for Castleford, I don't think I could have given too many players over 5. Majority would have been 4. And all the Leeds players, I don't think, realistically, not one of them wouldn't have been less than a 9. Does that make... Would you be right about that?
And I also think that the men coming off the bench made a huge difference for Leeds. And Cass, for whatever the reasons for their selection...
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
...didn't have enough variation.
Yeah, all right. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Look, fair play to Leeds, but...
Do you want to join in the conversation about how good Leeds were?
No, no, it's all right, mate.
We talk about how good Danny Maguire was.
We'll talk about why Leeds are letting him go. I think that's what I want to talk about, but we'll do that in a minute. Lots of people getting in touch. Go on, Rich.
Yeah, John's confused. He says, is this Radio Yorkshire or Radio Leeds?
How dare you swear at us, John? How dare you?
John, what did you think we were going to talk about?
Where's John from? Obviously, Cass.
I don't know. Gary says, big match, grand final experience, Leeds Rhinos. It's a learning curve for Casford, but will they be back?
Well, that's the thing. Someone made a great point the other night. Hull got to a grand final 11 years ago. They haven't been back since, so it's all right.
The heartacre issue is one that they're going to have to resolve, because it's not just the impact that might have had for Saturday nights. How do you replace someone of his quality? Because there aren't a lot out there.
Sign Max Jowett. Andrew says... If Cass kick their first penalty and take the two, does it make it a different game?
Well, why didn't Could they score? Why Could didn't do. They take the two? Easy
Because
kick.
They've not been in a grand final before.
Well, hold on. In the semi-final the week before, they scored a try and then got a penalty and kicked it. That's in the semi-final.
But also, as well, I think the way that Casford have beat Leeds quite easy in the fall fixes what they've had this year, and the confidence what Casford have got, I reckon that's why they reckon the fans
Was
of the four.
Was that naive?
Yes.
Maybe so,
in a grand
final. Yeah, maybe so.
Take the two.
Maybe so.
They then had three very kickable kicks. They could have been 6-6 going into half time.
Yeah, maybe so.
Interesting.
And that is what you learn from being in that pressure situation. Because
I've never been in a grand final. I'd have taken the two.
It isn't like you're playing at the Jungle and you're going to rack up 30 or 40 points by the end of the game.
Yeah. Go on then, Rich. Lots happening.
More on this, obviously. Cass didn't play. Off-field distractions didn't help. This is Els. Didn't help matters during a week of preparation, but credit Leeds. Got it done and set Maguire off on a high. Mm-hmm. Chris Price, who wasn't there, obviously, because Saints weren't there, said, told you months ago, Scoey, Cass's brand of rugby doesn't win big finals. Finals are tight affairs and they play too open.
Wasn't a tight affair.
Same goes for Saints as
Comprehensive.
Well.
Comprehensive.
Yeah, but only because one side didn't
turn up. But it wasn't. I mean, when we talked about the way the game would likely go last week, we said if Leeds would win, it would be tight and possibly late.
Yeah, but
if
Leeds a team was going to run, like it was a tight game. They
but if a team was going to run away with it, it would be kind of, I don't think any of us saw a scoreline that we eventually got.
No, probably not. Probably not. But then again, I don't think we saw a performance from Cass like we got. Great disappointment. Go on, let's have more.
I mean, it has done into Castle are going to sign every single fullback in the league now. Jake Mamo has been mentioned. Well, Huddersfield are going to get rid of him, are they? And,
well, he's going to cost.
Lomax. Well, they ain't got no money now because they've spent it all on... Oh dear. Dean says Cass were terrible, Leeds weren't great. That's a bit harsh.
No,
Dean,
come on.
Lee could have beaten Cass.
We wanted Cass to win, Rich and I, but come on, Leeds were very good, Dean.
And
it pains me.
Their forwards were very, very good, and Castleford's forwards were rubbish.
Yes, they were.
They were very rubbish, and they had all of them on the bench as well.
I've got a question. Did Darryl get his team wrong? That's a question I want to ask the listeners at home. I think he did. I'll tell you why I think he got his team wrong. I think putting Alex Foster on the bench was a mistake. I think Foster's... You made a point the other week about impact players coming off the bench. Get your grafters on to start with and bring your impact off the bench. Alex Foster, for me, has been solid all season.
When he starts,
and he's put him on the bench. I just think you're taking away... He's a workhorse. He's a lesser or more inexperienced version of Stevie Waugh. That's what he'll do. He'll run it in and he'll tackle. That's what his job is. Should have been on at the start. Jaiex Cox, I would have picked Monaghan for his big game experience. Good under the high ball. I'm not saying Hitchcock did a great deal wrong. I'm just saying I would have gone down that route. And I would have put Ben Roberts at fullback.
But
that's where he went wrong.
But also as well, though, Matt, when you look to that Casford team, it's still enough quality to beat Leeds. But then all the big game players just didn't turn up. Well, say not turn up, but didn't perform. Eden dropping the ball. Yeah. Shenton dropping the ball. Roberts dropping the ball.
Splitting up that Shenton-Eden partnership was probably a mistake, and we can say that with hindsight. But I think you lose so much of your threat.
You're almost punishing yourself.
It's not just that you've lost Hardacre and what he can do, and obviously Luke Gayle was hampered by not having Hardacre as his outlet because it's been so productive this year. But I think then when you, if you know you've lost that, and let's face it, Hardacre could have got injured in the last training session, so you always have to make adjustments.
Yeah.
But to then break up the Shenton Eden partnership, I think, means that you're just not going to score enough points necessarily to win that game. Or if you're going to do that, have a fail safe on the bench that you can put them back together again. Maybe then move Roberts. I don't know. Have Tom Holmes on the bench, or possibly Jake Truman. So you've got that halfback. You know, Leeds had Rob Burrow on the bench, who, if he needed to, could have covered hooker or halfback. And I don't think we should keep necessarily going back to Leeds, because you have to look at the issues that Castleford faced. But Matt Parcell this year, I think we sat in this studio and did our pre-season preview and said, you know, where are teams likely to finish? And we all agreed that Leeds were about a sixth place team because they hadn't recruited, and they'd gone through 2016 and underperformed. And we looked at it and said, they've only really signed one guy. So if they're not in the bottom four, that's progress. That one guy has been absolutely exceptional for them this year.
Yeah, got to agree with that. He's probably been one of the best signings in the competition.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because every single person voted for Danny Maguire as Man of the Match, Harry Sunderland Trophy winner. If you could have picked anyone second, it would have to have been any one of the Leeds pack of forwards provided that platform for the Leeds Rhinos. Joe says Carl Ablett was brilliant, such an unsung hero at Leeds.
But he came off the bench with grand final experience, and that again is invaluable.
Leeds worked harder. Leeds props, second rowers, worked harder in the whole game. Didn't make as many errors as Castleford. Yeah. And for as much as we've lauded Castle season,
maybe harsh to say worked harder, worked smarter. You know, they didn't drop the ball, they didn't, you know.
Played with a greater intensity, I think.
Yeah.
Played better.
And had two very good reasons to do so. I think teams that do things they shouldn't do have to have a reason to do it, to grow that extra leg, if you like. Yeah. So, yes, you've got the Maguire and Burrow thing. Two of the greats of the competition bowing out. You as their teammates over a long course of time, will do anything you can. And again, perhaps it's worth asking the Cass fans, would you have had Andy Lynch on the bench?
Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously, he wasn't playing brilliantly towards the end of the season, was he?
I didn't see enough of him to say, did he merit a place on the bench? But almost that angle of sending out your gladiatorial warrior as best you can, it's not a bad motivation. And I also think that the you know, where Leeds have come from to where they wanted to get to prove people wrong. It's the highest motivation you can have, is to prove doubters wrong. Mm. And they had that.
Okay.
Just on that point, and I know Brian McDermott said the week before, didn't he, about the people who ridiculed Leeds last season and at the early part of this season when they lost at Castleford. I think the key point has to be, and I think this is a fact that people within Leeds need to realise, the reason why people, me, whoever, were ridiculing Leeds when they were rubbish last year and hammered at Cass is because they win everything, because they're successful.
Exactly.
In the same way, when David Moyes were at Man United, we were talking about this in the office as the obvious comparison, it was great, because Man United won everything. We're not any good anymore. We can all point and laugh and go, you're rubbish. And then they come back and win all the trophies and we go, not again.
Question for Leeds fans who have been advocates of Matt Dermott out. With his emotion that he showed in the semi-final and after the final, and with the way that he's taken a group that lost three of their greatest ever warriors and within two seasons turn them back into champions, is that campaign now going to end?
Well, I can't understand why it's there anyway.
No, but I don't know. But I'm just saying, if there's anybody out there that's
part of it,
I don't
like,
he wins
me four grand finals.
He is now not only the most successful Leeds coach, but the most successful coach of the Super League era now. No one else has got four winners' rings as a coach. Is he now going to be cut some slack?
I certainly have enjoyed speaking to him more in the last 6 weeks or so than previously. Not that I like Brian. I think we get to see a different side of him, because we get to see him when the microphone's not on. He's quite a funny guy. He's got a great sense of humour. He says it how it is, you know, which we'd love on this show. But we don't see that on the telly. The Brian we get in the press conferences after a game is not the one that is the real Brian. And it must be hard, but I thought we saw, and I said that to him last week, I thought we saw something of Brian last week. And I'm pleased for him.
No, you're not.
No, I am. I am, honestly. Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
I am. I'm pleased for everyone at Leeds, because just like Cass and like all the other teams in Super League, they've worked their backsides off to get where they are.
Yeah.
Right? They won. You can't argue with that. You're already on, Scoy. You can stay up there, look. You're already on. This is a sackable offence. Yeah. You do know that, don't you?
We're gonna go try set fire to it at half time.
Open the window. Turn the smoke alarms off.
Then I've got a lighter.
So I am pleased. Yeah, why do they want him out? Madness.
I don't know, that's my question. Madness. If there's any of them tuning in.
Yeah, tighter that scarf, sorry, if you would, please. Can we put your foot on your chest while I tie it up? What's happening? Come on, then. Let's have a look. What is happening?
These are the questions.
At RL on RY. Yeah, we'll be talking busy. England after 7 o'clock, because, honestly, we've had hundreds of tweets about this today.
Here's Mick. James Child has been slaughtered all season. Anyone going to mention him? Because he hardly got mentioned throughout the game, which is a good thing.
Six penalties. He was great.
I said last week... I thought he had a great semi-final, and he deserved a crack at the final. Did he? All right, there's some video calls went the other way. I'm not bothered about that.
Might have missed the odd forward pass or reefed ball.
Especially that one to Tom Briscoe, eight yards forward, that probably the match-winning try,
what
really.
The touch judge was stood at Tom Briscoe's shoulder. And
he was stood behind him. Anyway, I thought he had a good game.
Six penalties, five of them to Cass. I don't think there was an issue with the referee at all. I don't think he determined that game.
No? I didn't see him drop it 18 times anyway. I must have missed that.
Graham says 6 points flattered Cass. I think that's fair. Mark says, kick the points when on offer, catch the ball. Moore's dropped the ball 4 times. When else do Cass drop the ball 18 times? Well, of course, Mark, as you and I both know, dear listener, it is not the player's fault. It is the ball's fault. It's all Rhino. See, it's Rhino on the ball, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
that's
a conspiracy.
It. It's a fix.
Conspiracy.
It's a fix.
Conspiracy.
Oh, you're not denying it, are you? You're not denying it.
Oh, no, can me and Phil get a word in now?
Oh, I will.
From you, sad ball fan.
I told you not to.
From you, sad ball fan. And you, sad Wakefield fan.
The club I support went bust. Anyway, the Bradford Bulls women won the Super League. Yeah. So,
unbeaten all season.
Yeah.
10 of them in the World Cup.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well,
Andrew Chalmers then should sign up for proper balls then, shouldn't he?
Exactly.
They are the proper balls.
Yeah, they are. That's the one. You're going to start selling season tickets. Watch them.
Are you going to go watch them?
I'd rather watch them than the other lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we move on. Come on, move on, Richard.
John Davidson, friend of this programme. Scoy was slagging off Matt Parcell at the start of the season. He needs to listen to Phil and me more.
Whoa. No, I wasn't slagging off Matt Parcell at all, Davo. Not at all. So I don't know where you've got that from, son. Eh? Not at all.
See, we're all fairly happy, positive people on this programme, despite what people may think. But Richard says, no, he's not. Hunslet boy, maybe that's why, he says, the final was a poor standard. Super League is poor standard. Don't even think I'm going to watch the World Cup.
Not watch the World Cup when Jason Taumalolo is going to be playing for Tonga?
Everyone's defected to the countries they should be playing for anyway and stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
Apart from Chris Huntington. Anyway.
Yeah. Can't he just defect somewhere else?
Ooh. Yeah.
Chris Huntington.
Yeah, Bondi Beach.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that after 7.
Andrew Scarf says, looking at two games, St Helens and Cass in the Grand Final, Cass look like if plan A doesn't work, we have no plan B and look lost.
I think that's partly to do with Zach not being there.
Yeah.
Stephen, how embarrassing would it have been if Zach Hardacre had won Man of Steel and the RFL knew of his ban? Why was he allowed to be
in? Because the RFL didn't know of his ban.
Give the RFL some credit, right? Are they going to let the most prestigious award in the game be given to someone who they suspect is going to get banned? No. Even the RFL, and they listen as well, even the RFL wouldn't have got it that wrong.
Would Castleford have put him up for all the interviews in the lead up to the...
Not
the...
at all.
But also as well, and you know, with the Zach Hardacre factor, even if it had played, would he have made any difference on Saturday night with the way that Leeds played?
Yes.
Well, in what way then?
I'll say to you then, if you'd have turned around and said to Leeds players on Thursday morning, by the way, lads, Adam Cuthbertson's not playing, or Matt Parcells not
or
playing.
Or even Stevie Ward, which is the other side of that story.
Huge, huge impact. It would have done. You can't deny it.
I'm not, Mark, what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about the impact. I'm talking about the way Leeds played. Would Zach Hardacre have made any difference?
How the hell do we know? This is what I'm saying.
I
don't think it would have done, because Leeds just totally controlled that game.
No.
They would.
I think having him in the team, A, poses the threat that he's got.
Yeah.
B, makes Luke Gayle a better player because he's so often the outlet for what Gayle is doing. And C, means that you can keep Shenton and Eden together, yeah, which is a threat that Leeds didn't have
if
to face up to.
If Eden had scored that try.
But I think there's
6-0.
Something more than that, and I don't know if this is right, but I think Darrell's built this team over the last 3 years on however you determine the word culture, that he's bought in a work ethic and a belief system where they're all in it together. And I think when one of your key men, one of the guys who's played the best for you all season, lets that ethic down 2 days from a grand final, that has an effect on everybody. And you can't quantify it, but it does.
Are we talking about this now, or are we talking about this
later?
No, we'll
talk it now. Right. Go on then, let's do it now.
He knew what he was doing when he took what he took before that game against Leeds. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets the punishment he deserves.
But what he's done is undermined what coach is trying to build. And I think when you sit there, and Darrell said, you know, we trained well on the Friday. I just think...
Yeah, but how many times do we hear that? Mm. Oh, we didn't see that coming. The lads trained well yesterday. Mm. Never come out and say, you know what, we trained like an absolute bag of spanners on Friday, do they?
But I think I don't think you can blame anybody other than Zach, but I just think it made Darrell's job so much harder in those 2 days.
He said it was a smack in the chops for the lads. They'll feel let down, then, mate.
Of course they would, yeah.
Has let them down. Let's not dress this up any other way. He has let everyone down. Including himself, might I add.
No, absolutely.
You know, and he's now looking at a 2 to 4 year suspension.
And fully deserved. Fully deserved.
Did Castleford make a mistake signing him? For all the fact that he was one of three players...
Hindsight is a wonderful thing.
But
if they hadn't, somebody would.
It is, but Zach had issues before he signed for Castleford. Well documented. And Brian McDermott, we praised him at the start of the show. He's one of the people that cut him quite a lot of slack when he was at Leeds. And it got to a point where he said...
Enough's enough.
The issues that Zach have centred primarily around the people that influence him and you were putting him right back into that environment.
You're going to be wherever he'd have played in England. Unless you go live in London, you're still going to be living at home. But hold on a second. Let's call a spade here. If Zach Hardacre could have been rubbish, Leeds would have sacked him long before they did get rid of him.
They wouldn't have sacked him in the first place.
Other players who've been in disciplinary issues
exactly.
have been moved on.
They would have. So let's not call Leeds the great martyrs.
No, I'm just saying.
They're still biting because he had a great value. If there's one,
until such time.
One question that hindsight tells you, and this is an interesting one, should Cass, and hindsight is a wonderful thing, I said, yeah, we'll pay 150 grand for him, but you get 50 grand this year, and you get 50 grand
good,
next year,
good behaviour,
and 50
bond.
Grand the year after, and if he misbehaves, you're not getting anything. That's hindsight.
But Castleford signed Rangi, didn't they? And that went the same way. Is there an issue about... And Darrell is one of the best man managers we've seen in the modern era. But when you take on people that other people have said, I'm not sure we can do anything with this guy, does that undermine what you're trying to do? Is there a self-destruct in that?
Yeah, of course it is, you know, because what Darrell Powell has done, also to the chief executive as well, in Steve Gill, both in the cases of Rangi Chase and Zach Hardacre, is that they put the trust in him. You know, you're grown men, we trust you, we hear all the noises what people are saying, we hear all the noises that... You're coming here with a reputation, you're coming here with a bit of baggage, but we trust you, you know, and now we're giving you that opportunity to put yourself right. The environment's good for you. You play with a smile on your face. You're going to be playing quality rugby league. You've got quality players around you.
Phil, up and until Thursday, the Hardacre signing was the signing of the season.
Mm.
Cass have been let down here. This is not something... I get what you're saying.
All I'm saying is, what... When you're trying to build something based on the team ethic, and you sign individuals that could destroy that. Is there
I think Rangnick is a short-term cheap signing.
No, I'm not talking about the financial side.
Have nothing to lose. If he played well, great. Yeah. If he didn't, they get rid of him, and that's ultimately what's happened. They signed Hardacre. I'm sure Zach promised them he'd change, you know, he's changed his ways, and clearly he hasn't. And that's a problem. He's going to have to live with the consequences. But as we said, Castleford, 150 grand out of pocket. That's the thing that'll hurt.
Because you know, what as well. Myself and my good mate Crooksy, we did a charity dinner at Headley on Thursday night, and when all this came, when it came out, and I'm driving Lee back to Castleford on Thursday night about 10:45, and as we were driving, I just said to Lee, I said, I wonder what Zach's feeling now. I wonder if he's feeling remorseful, or I wonder if he's thinking, well, I couldn't care less, you know, because somebody will give me another opportunity. You know, I wonder if he was out on the drink or whatever he's doing with his mates on the Thursday night. And Crooksy said, well, you know, I'd like to think that, yeah, he regrets what he's done. He's been in contact with all his players, obviously by mobile and with a message. He's been in contact with Darryl Powell. He's been in contact with Steve Gill about the remorse and, you know, and feeling sorry that, you know, he's let everybody down. And then in the next breath, within 3 seconds, Lee went, you know, what's going? I don't think he will be, because I don't think he cares less. And at the end of the day, Zach now is 25 years of age. You cannot keep changing players' nappies. You can't. And what Castleford have done, they have put their trust in him. They have believed in him. And my situation, everybody knows, anybody with drugs, it's quite simple. You're gone. And Castleford, for mine, I've no sympathy, me, Mark. I've no sympathy, Rich. Phil, I've no sympathy. Not at all. He deserved to be sacked.
But this is a problem with sport. This is a problem with sport
and society.
And society. But just in terms of sport, is sportsmen who get, sportsmen and women, sports people, whatever, who get caught using cocaine, which is a banned substance because it is a stimulant, and I'm not saying any of these sports people use it as a stimulant, but it is, and they should know it is, because that's their job.
They do know.
As much as it's my job to sit here and not swear or commit libel on the radio, otherwise I get sacked. They should be aware of what they're doing when they come out afterwards and make absolute rubbish excuses for the reasons why they're taking this.
I think they are aware of what they're doing.
Of course they are.
And I think, again, it's, some of it is to do with a compulsive, addictive personality, which, you know, we've got to judge each case as it is. But I also think that the disappointing thing in this particular one, and whenever I've interviewed Zach, whether he's been at Leeds or Cass, he's been absolutely fine.
He's a great kid, you know.
Is the fact that
when you interview him,
in the build,
he's in the right environment.
In the right environment.
But in the build-up to arguably the biggest day ever of the club that he was playing for, he was telling everybody how fantastic it was that this club had given him a chance.
Yeah.
In the knowledge that
he'd
already failed the drugs test.
And he didn't know at that point.
Well, he knew that he'd been tested.
Yeah.
And that the night he was tested, he was in danger.
But also, as well, what is it with this cocaine? Because I say we've never taken any drugs in our life. But what is it with this cocaine?
Some say we need performance-enhancing drugs, but sadly no one's provided any.
Yeah, well, give us a gallon of beer. That'll do for me, to be honest with you. But what I'm saying
is... that's because you're of a different generation.
Oh, Phil, that's rubbish. Drugs for mine is not part of society, but let's go.
Last week, sadly.
I know it. Do you know what? In our day, even if someone smokes, right, we said to them, what are you smoking for? You're a professional sportsman. That's not the right example to set. But when we look at sport in a whole, last week there were three different sportsmen done for cocaine. The young kid who's a Durham cricketer, 20 years of age, England performance, their opening batsman, he's cocaine. The jockey, Graham Gibbons, he's got cocaine, and then he's tried to avoid it by switching somebody else's urine sample, so they know what they're doing. And then that idiot of a tennis player who's got cocaine in his air dryer bag, trying to make excuses how it's got there. Well, how can he make an excuse? You know it's in there, and so the excuse to me is then, well, how's it finished up your nose then? They're just literally trying to deny and say, well, oh, I don't know, it's got there. Absolute pathetic.
And this is where we as a sport are doing the right thing, but are getting pilloried for it in the media, which we're part of, I understand that. Because we actually do take this seriously and do hand out proper bans.
We have to do, Rich.
Exactly.
That kid at Durham, it's his third failed test.
He's only 20.
He got a 3-week ban for his second offence, and now they've given him a year.
And
Honestly, it's laughable. It's laughable.
But also as well, right? Do you know we talk about?
Is tennis not signed up to the WADA code?
No, but apparently not.
But do you know what? As well, we talk about sport nowadays, and the way they all are now, they don't want for anything. But surely, when you, the medical teams, all sporting clubs, you know, the doctors and the physios and whatever, surely they say to players, hey, listen.
Oh, they do.
If any of you lot are thinking on taking cocaine,
because
you're going to get caught.
I think there is a bigger issue, and this probably isn't even the time to debate it, and probably needs a little bit more thought, but going full-time professional has costs. It's like, there's more dementia in society at the moment. So it could be that further down the line, it'll be because we all had mobile phones glued to our ears. You won't know that. It's like concussion.
Yeah.
That now all of a sudden we're looking at players that played in different sports and going, there is an issue that we couldn't have noted at the time. I think there are some players who cannot cope with full-time professionalism. And part of that is pain relief, because they're getting absolutely belted, not only in matches but in training. Part of it is players who have time on their hands and money.
Well, I tell you what, get a different hobby. Do you know what I did? If we weren't going for a couple of pints with lads, you were playing golf. Load of rubbish. What, so your hobby is snorting cocaine? Absolutely. I'm not buying into it. I've got too much time and too much money.
The other thing I was going to say.
I tell you what then. All coaches.
But not all of them are doing it.
No, hold on.
It's certain personalities.
There's a huge cocaine problem in rugby league, and you know that, Phil. So do you, Matt Wilson. So does Richard Shaw. But also as well, then why don't everybody then go to Alex Ferguson and say, Alex, what did you do with Ryan Giggs? And he goes, I told him to get married. Get yourself married. That's an hobby. Full time, isn't it? Being a husband.
I think
that's not a great example.
So have a hobby on a night time, one or two. Yeah, anyway,
well,
yeah.
I'm gonna say, how did his marriage work out, Scoy?
Who, Fergie's?
No, Giggs. Yeah, we better move on.
But most of the players in your era were part-time players. So they were grounded in the job that they had during the week and came to training two or three times a week. Now they're full-time professionals.
Yeah, they're there at 7 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
They're not there till 4.
No, they're not. That's utter rubbish.
Well, that's what I've heard at times.
And they have at least one day off between games as well. And I think that you get an 80-minute absolute buzz and a high when you're playing.
Of course you do.
And it's
that's what you play the game for.
And they're looking for replication of that in their social lives.
Also, taking drugs is an answer then, is it?
For some people, sadly, it is.
Yeah, it is, Gary. We don't know because we don't do it.
Because the other issue...
Right. But some people, that is what they
and
do.
And the other issue that won't go away...
But what you've got to realise is you're a sportsman, you're not allowed to.
That is the point.
You're not
that
allowed to.
Point.
That's the point I'm saying. You're not allowed. You're a sportsman. You're not allowed to take drugs.
At what point, when Zach took those drugs, did he ever think... If I get caught here, I'm guessing 150 grand a year.
Obviously not. Obviously
4-year contract, 600 grand this is going to cost me if I get caught.
Again,
obviously won't bother.
Everything you do as a rugby league player is mapped out for you. So all of your training, all of the things that you're allowed to eat, everything that when you are under the club is regulated. So that means that you have a partly OCD personality if you're going to be extremely successful, or you have some kind of compulsive need to be told what to do. All this. When you are let out of that restrictive area, people look for things to replace that. And the other issue that we've got...
Replacing it with drugs, Phil?
Yes, that's how the modern society works. If we went out for a drink in certain places not far from here, if we wanted to, we could get involved
we all know that.
We're of a different generation. That's not our default position. Yeah. But it is for young
professional sportsmen. We went on the Christmas do, right, and we had a Jaeger bomb, and we thought we were living the dream.
We thought we were 16.
That's how we roll. Yeah?
Yeah, but do you know what?
Rich had a blue wicked. Yeah, that's how he rolls.
Yeah, but do you know what? Danny said today, because we mentioned it the other day, I can't wait for Christmas party, right?
And no,
he said,
you've not been invited, sorry.
You know, we said...
We're having it in October when you're not here.
The Christmas party's coming up soon. You know what Danny says? Yeah, we're all on Jaeger bombs. I went, I'm not, because I don't like it. I didn't like it. I won't be having a Jaeger bomb. He said, get me a pint of lager. Do you know what I mean? But this is what I'm saying here.
The other issue is prescription drugs. Mm. And it's not a huge vault from prescription drugs to Class A drugs. And a lot of our players, for even pain management issues, for being able to sleep after matches, to be able to go training when their body is already bruised.
I say they sleep after the game. You get a gallon of Nerf down your neck.
They don't. They take things like Tramadol.
Yeah, that's frowned upon nowadays, Gary.
What is?
Having a gallon and a half after a game. That's frowned upon. The lads aren't encouraged to do it.
Also, they're also encouraged to take cocaine, are they?
No, but they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. No, that is a stupid thing
is it?
You've just said.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Phil's right. You're saying it's all part of society now, so the board, they get too much money, so what? So they're allowed to take cocaine now?
They're not allowed to take drugs. Not saying they are.
Alcohol's not a drug. Alcohol is not banned. It's not a banned substance, is it? You know.
Well, there are tolerances you can have if you're going to do certain things like lift heavy machinery or... So, yes, there are stipulations attached to alcohol. But what I'm saying is there is a bigger issue than just one person or three people in the immediate past getting caught taking cocaine. If you, as you say, it's rife, then there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And it's all very well hanging an individual out to dry.
Oh, no, we've had Randy Chase and Walker.
Yeah, I'm saying
like 5 weeks.
So there's three of them. But there has to be an underlying set of reasons. And we need to start investigating that if we're serious about tackling it.
Well, to tackle it then, what the RFL then, I've got to send drug testers in every 10 days to 2 weeks.
The problem with that is it costs a lot of money. Mm. The sport's not going to spend that money. And the clubs aren't going to have less money given to them by the RFL from central funding to fund drug tests.
And we haven't got enough players. And I know it's not really relevant, but the fact is if you're in Australia playing for an NRL team and you get caught taking cocaine...
Yeah, by the way, two New Zealand test players taking cocaine.
Yeah. But they've replaced them with players who are not dissimilar in ability. So if you, let's say you're a club who has a star player who is you think might be committing a misdemeanor, but he is your star player. You've invested a lot of money in this player. You can't find a replacement for this player. Is there a tendency to hope that this will go away rather than tackle the issue?
No, there has to be.
Don't know. Maybe Bilko's made a good point here in saying if Hardacre had faced consequences for other things in the past, he would have been,
So we can all blame Leeds.
And Penrith.
Didn't do all wrong at Penrith, did he?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Can
all blame Leeds.
Did Castleford, with hindsight, make a mistake not going public on Friday when they'd been notified?
No.
Would that have helped them deal with it in-house?
No.
Might have made a difference to the performance?
No, I don't think it would. I think the clamour of people demanding that they announce it yesterday was wrong. They'll announce it when they want it.
I just wonder from their point of view, if they'd have said, look, it was an asterisk on a team sheet, all it was going to do was raise a load of questions. By Friday morning, they could have answered those questions. It wouldn't have made any difference to the squad, other than the fact that it might have cleansed them a little bit.
Would it have associated Castleford Tigers with drugs? It would have done. The day before, the biggest game in their history. They did it right for me. I get your point.
No, I'm just saying, do you think it had an
effect?
Don't
forget as well that had this have happened this week, we wouldn't have heard about it until he officially gets banned. They don't have to tell anyone. They didn't have to.
Much like in other sports.
They didn't have to tell anyone.
Other than they said on their press release with the 19-man squad, a breach of club rules.
What should they have done then? Should they have said he's got an hamstring injury, he's not playing?
But they could have done. Or they could have, on Friday morning, said this is what the breach is. I'm just saying, do you think
this is our great club associated with that, which we don't want to be associated with?
But all of the questions before the game in the press room and amongst some of the fans was, what's Zach done? All of the questions to the players when they came in the mix zone afterwards was it disruptive? All I'm saying is, would it have been less disruptive if it had been out in the open?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think it would have been.
Because there were plenty of brilliant rumours on social media throughout the weekend, which were all complete nonsense.
The people were saying he told Brian McDermott the team.
Yeah. I'm sure him and Brian McDermott, they're all on WhatsApp all the time, swapping emojis.
So what do you reckon Cash should do? I reckon they should sack him, simple as.
Well, the problem is if you sack him, someone's going to sign him, aren't they?
Well, he might get four years.
Well, if he gets 4 years, then it's a bit harder. But if he gets 1 year, then someone will sign him.
I would say there are two outcomes. One, he is completely remorseful.
Well, he's done that already.
It's a prepared statement.
He hasn't given a reason, has he?
So who's prepared that statement for him? His agent?
Well, hold on. So he comes out full of remorse. This is why I've done it. These are the issues that I've got. I'm seeking treatment. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I've let the club down, blah, blah, blah. I think Cass might, if that's the case, might stick with him. I think they might ride it out and say in 2 years, right, here we go then, this is what's going to happen. I also think if he comes out and tries and argues it, whatever it is, I think they will distance themselves from that. That's my opinion.
And the irony is, of course, that a player who has just started his career in this country for the same offence got 12 games in Australia. And we let him play in this country, but that's...
Yeah. Out of competition as opposed to in competition, apparently.
Yeah.
Are they all... They should
yeah.
be all.
And we've seen before that the rumours...
There is no
charges of players in Australia, in the NRL, hierarchy caught with it. It's rife in the game.
Oh, it is. Still, yeah, it is. It is.
It is an epidemic.
It needs addressing. Because you know what, right? We got the grand final this week. The week before... The two semi-finals, sensational. We all said rugby league was the winner. The product what we have is sensational. So why? And I tell you, if I were the chief executive of the RFL, I know exactly what I would do with these drug cheats, because it is rife in the game. We all know that the rumours and the speculations, what's going around from there. If I were the chief executive of the RFL, I would be saying to all the clubs, the drug testers are coming in here, all your clubs. Every 2 weeks. Whatever the cost is, it's every 2 weeks. So, you deal with it, or we'll deal with it. It's as simple as that. I don't want the greatest game of all, the greatest game of rugby league, tarnished
well, the problem
with
is,
drug cheats
the
and cocaine.
We are, as I said earlier, we're too good at actually disciplining these people when other sports, football is the obvious example, the glaring example, where you can take cocaine and pretty much get away with it.
Mm.
And I'll leave it at that, because you can all work out what I'm talking about from there. Steve and a few other people have said, you know, all clubs should do in-house drug testing. I'm sure if clubs did do in-house drug testing, they would be shocked and stunned by the results of them, but they because, you know, they don't have to sack all these people or whatever. It's a minefield. We all know there's a problem, the players can sort it out themselves.
Some clubs have, but yes. In a salary cap sport, it's not easy to just get rid of people overnight.
It's the players' responsibility.
You can make occasion for them leaving when it's an end of a season or a contract's up. Or it's very hard.
Difficult.
It's very hard.
But that doesn't mean we should pull
with
it.
But I think it also needs to be said that we're a sport that set up things like State of Mind and Rugby League Cares, and we do more than most to try and look after people who've erred. And I've had a conversation first thing this morning with Luke Ambler. He's already offered whatever support he can to Zach. And I think as a sport, we will do the right thing. Because there's two sides of the coin. One is acknowledging the fact that, you know, we cannot have a sport that is dirty. But also looking after the people who have issues.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think Rangy and Zach did know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Of course they do. Of course.
I think you, Mr. Schofield, have been quite hypocritical, because you've got a past where you've done things wrong, but for a toss of a coin or a clicker of a finger could have gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been you we were talking about who's ended his career by being stupid. So I think you are being a bit hypocritical.
Hey, listen, I won't say stupid where I've been looking to jeopardise my career to get the sack and get booted out.
That's exactly what you were doing. That is exactly what you did, and you did it on more than one occasion. So you are, I think you're out of order.
I don't think so.
Well, I beg to disagree. I beg to disagree. You might say it's different.
I don't think so.
Right? But what you did was illegal as well, my friend, so come on.
I just think it's good to know that the sport will try and look after as well as take the appropriate action. And if the statement that Zach needs to put out is, I have booked myself into the Sporting Chance Clinic for a month and I'm going to undergo whatever Tony Adams' fabulous programmes are, and that's with the help of Rugby League Cares or State of Mind or Mentality or whatever. And I do think there is a corollary to this, and it is the Stevie Ward story, as we were told it on Saturday night in the midst of a grand final, that there was a bloke who, again, was offered... thought in his own mind in the darkest hours when the morphine wasn't working that he was going to give this up. And because he has spent 18 months within whatever mentality is to him, self-development as he called it, he coped with it. I'm not sure that Zach can cope with this, and that might be a personality trait. So I think it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we should take on that role as a sport. And if that is Luke Ambler offering advice, then I'm pleased that that's out there for him. We don't want another Terry Newton.
The problem he's got is he can't do a Ben Barber and go to France. That's not open. He's two years. It's worldwide. He's banned, isn't it?
Yep.
Minimum.
Yep.
Mm.
other bits and pieces, because yeah, I know we're coming up to the news. Graham says, should Man of Steel be after the grand final?
Yes.
They wouldn't be able to arrange it.
Because you still get Jason Battieri voting for Joe Philbin. He should be banned.
It's part of the grand final week. It's a great event.
We voted for you.
Some of the daft people who... Rugby league players, stupid. What have we learned this week? They're stupid. Yeah. Captain Jibbers, any rumours who is the new assistant coach at Warrington? Rumours abound. It could be a championship coach.
Andrew Henderson's been linked.
With Richard Agar going to St George Illawarra. I can't wait for all the St George fans to be tweeting in all throughout next season.
He's not going as a coach. He's going
What is he, kit man?
Pathways development.
Still Richard Agar's fault.
Nice. Pathways development.
He's dug up all the paths.
He's the link with the juniors going through into the first. With Ian Millward, who he's a close friend with.
Oh, Ian Millward, right. That great Castleford coach.
Great tipper. Andy, he's stealing a living from
Is he a worse predictor than me, Ian Millward?
Oh, he's terrible.
Definitely.
Andy says, I think he sees as much Super League as Wayne Bennett. Andy says, how good's the kid Walker at fullback for the Rhinos?
Yeah, sensational. And then I said, you know what? The kid got absolutely slayed, didn't he? When he says, yeah, I believe in my own ability. I've got plenty of confidence. And I don't want to play anywhere else except the fullback. I want the number one jersey. Tell you what, the kid's right. The kid's right. Love his confidence.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking England after seven. Could he possibly squeeze his way in?
What, done a Billy Boston? Played half a dozen games and played for his country?
I played at 18. Mm. Yeah, so
how many games had you played when you played for Great Britain?
Started in August, so I don't know what would it be. Maybe about 20 games, would it? Yeah, 20 games. I'll tell you what, I had a nightmare. Well, I thought my international career would finish for about 2 or 3 years. An absolute shocker against France.
Had a bad game. You told me you never had one.
Most boringest game I've been involved with. 10-0 against France, slinging it down the rain. Anyway, 5 penalties, David Hobbs, and all me and John Basnett were arguing with each other because we were joint top try scorers, 22 apiece, and it was a shocker.
At least you were top try scorer and got picked for England.
Yeah.
Elsewhere. This is James saying, can everyone, including the legend, wish Thomas and Sally all their best on their wedding day?
Congratulations.
Where's it at? We've got an invite.
We should also say happy birthday to Joanne, because it's her birthday today. Shall we be expecting some cake?
We had sport to since she forgot the cake.
Joanne, happy birthday, darling. Happy birthday.
I don't think she's listening.
Where's the wedding at? Can we nip in somewhere?
Who was it tweeting in? Tell us where it is. And I do like people now saying cash should be stripped to the league leader's shield because of Zach Hardacre.
Someone said that to me. Should have sent Ellen's appeal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll play the grand final again. Right, I'll back to Old Trafford this week. Jose, just bugger off for a week. We've got another game to play.
Should send Ellen's appeal.
That's what they said.
Who did that come from? A Wigan fan?
Play it behind closed doors.
Honestly. Despair.
So it's all very exciting. Someone's asked us who's going to win the grand final next year. Cast of the favourites with the sponsors.
I think Andy's got a problem with his internet because he's messaging a couple of times that he can't, but everyone else seems to be here, so it might be
your computer on and off again.
Yeah, that'll be £15 for the
call
internet
out
advice.
I don't think we've got enough time to talk about the World Club Challenge. Shall I save that till after
the
news?
No, we'll save it till after the news. We have another hour of live rugby league chat coming. Loads of people getting involved. I do appreciate each and every one of you taking the time, and don't forget you can listen again on the old podcast. Over 127,000 people have listened this year on their podcast, so that's pretty good.
Gary's got a big family.
Has he?
Well, he must have.
Loads of fans, a legend. Tell you what, listen, fellas.
You've got 30 seconds.
No, look at the league space. The numpty who's wrote in there and saying... Castleford lost.
Sound like Ronnie O'Sullivan. He's been calling everyone numpty.
Castleford lost because I predicted Cast to win by 20. What influence did I have on that performance by Castleford?
Well, you were shouting quite loudly from the stand, I heard you.
he's calling people numpties because Barry Hearn would find him if he said anything else.
Or does Ronnie O'Sullivan call people numpties?
He calls players numpties, doesn't he? He feels they're not as good as him. Numpties. Never mind.
Get him in here. Him and Scully get on to again.
Yeah. That's it for our number one. We're going to be talking England next. Who should have been in? Who shouldn't be in? Who would you like to see him given a go? Maybe he's a bit of an outside shot. And does Wayne Bennett watch enough Super League? We shall see. Let's have a look at that after the news coming up at 7. It's Mark, Rich, Phil and the legend.
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Indeed, we are back. Another hour of live Rugby League chat here. It is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. It is Mark, Richard, Phil and Gary with you through until 8 o'clock. We are going to be talking all about the England World Cup squad today. I'm sure everyone knows. I'm sure Richard will pull it up on the thing. We'll read it out to you in just a moment's time. The big question I have is I want to know from the listeners who should be in, who shouldn't be in, at RL on RY, and you can get in touch with the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page.
I have in my hand a piece of paper given to me by Wayne Bennett. Peace in our time. Yeah. Peas on toast. And the England World Cup squad is John Bateman, Kevin Brown, Sam Burgess, Tom Burgess, Ben Curry, Luke Gayle, James Graham, Ryan Hall, Chris Hyington, Chris Hill, Josh Hodgson, Johnny Lomax, Jermaine McGilvery, Mike McMeekin, Sean O'Loughlin, the captain, Mark Percival, Stephen Ratchford, James Roby, Scott Taylor, Alex Walmsley, Callum Watkins, Elliot Whitehead, Gareth Widdop, and George Williams. Those are the 23-4 men who will be bringing back the Paul Barriere Trophy at the start of December. They'll land at Heathrow and they'll go, yeah, we are the champion. Or they'll land there.
Team of the year, BBC Sports Personality.
Yeah, all that. It'll be all exciting and we'll all go, we never doubted your win. Of course, Kevin Brown should have been in the squad. I hope we don't have to interview him tomorrow. It'd be a bit embarrassing.
What the hell is Chris Hyington doing in that squad? Surely Matty Ashurst deserves a go in there, doesn't he? Stevie Ward deserves a go in there. Well, even Liam Farrell deserves a go in there. What is Hyington doing in there?
If as has been
reported, Gareth Ellis, put him in there. What is Kevin Brown doing there? Danny Maguire, the way he played, he'd be better, wouldn't he?
As has been reported, if I could speak, Stevie Ward is announcing the Wales squad tomorrow.
Wanted to play for England, Richie.
Why was he in the England training squad? When he was injured. He was in the England training squad when he was injured.
And now he's had a great game in the grand final.
Now he's fit, he's in the Wales squad.
Just in 80 minutes in the grand final. Everyone thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Newest sporting hero in the world and everything, and he is. If you don't watch the interview with him, by the way, radioyorkshire.co.uk. It was the most unsettling interview I've done in 15 years in this job.
Unsettling for all the right reasons.
Yeah. If he is called up for Wales, or just in generally, why is he not in the squad when he was in the training squad? I don't understand that. Especially when some players in this squad, Ben Curry's played about 3 games.
Why is he not in the squad when the assistant coach, who happens to be the first team coach of Widnes, was so lauding him live on national television at 6:15 last night?
And lauding Danny Maguire too.
He would have been in the... I don't think Danny was going to get picked, but... I find it odd that the name missing from there. I think one of the things we need to look at is the shame is we don't have 50 names. We're not going to spend too long arguing about who's in or who isn't. It probably is going to be maybe 3 that perhaps we think shouldn't be in and 3 who perhaps could make a claim. We haven't yet got to the point where most of that squad is an automatic selection.
Well, I asked the question earlier then. I said which 3 should be in.
Good question.
And which 3 shouldn't be in. I got a lot of tweets. We'll go through quite a lot of those in a moment. The three that I came up, Stevie Ward, I think we all agree, unlucky not to be in. Michael Shenton should be in for mine. And the other one I would have almost walked over broken glass if it had been Wayne Bennett is Gareth Ellis. Mm-hmm. Those are the 3 I think should be in.
I think there are 3 players who, if you genuinely say it's been picked on form, shouldn't be there. And they both, all 3 of them play for a club that underachieved this year. So I think that Chris Hill hasn't had his best year by his own admission. I think Kevin Brown is the selection that is mystifying everybody because it looks to me as though he's in there on the basis of he played OK against Samoa last time England played. And I think it's hard to say you picked on form when Ben Curry's played, 2 games this year? Now, he's got great potential, but, a World Cup is not a proving ground. England are going to have to play Australia in Melbourne with a team that is battle hardened, and I'm pretty sure that if you haven't played this year, you're not. So, which 3 would you bring in? Stevie Ward, obviously. And I know that John Keir has only named a 23-man squad at the moment because he's hoping that 24 is Stevie Ward. His mum is Welsh, and if I was Stevie, I'd go because he might not get another chance to play a World Cup in Australia.
Yeah.
I think I'd have taken Tommy Makinson because I think we're light on backs and I just think he gives you options. He can play full back if you need to. He can play on the wing. We've taken 2 wingers. That I think, it's not a lot of cover there. I also think he's got great footwork, which worries Australians. And I would have taken Adam Cuthbertson because I just think he offers something different.
Would he have played?
Yes, if he'd been asked, absolutely. I've asked him that question. He would. His dad's from Warrington, and he would have played if selected.
I think he's looking forward to having a rest, but it would have been...
No, he is. He's on a plane to Greece.
He's had today off and yesterday.
He's on a plane to Greece, I think. But yes, if you'd have said, at the age he's at as well, you could play in a World Cup for England. Look at his stats this year and tell me he's not worthy of playing an international shirt.
It's difficult because I don't watch much... Let's be computer doing that. I don't watch as much NRL as some, so I've not seen... enough of Chris Hynington to know how good he is or not. But if we are picking people who are not born in this country but want to represent this country, then at least Adam Cuthbertson is far more palatable to people than some bloke who plays in a completely different competition.
I don't think you can have it both ways. I don't think we as fans can lord the idea that Jason Taumalolo is going to be playing for Tonga and James Tedesco is going to be playing for Italy by birthright and then say we deny ourselves the opportunity to pick players that... qualify on birthright.
I'd pick the old bloody Australian squad if I could because we ain't got no.
Well, go on, in which three would you have left out and put in then, Rich?
Surprisingly, Kevin Brown I'd leave out.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been good all season. I've not seen enough of Tom Burgess in Australia, but reports say he's not been that great. But again, you'd have to look at Chris Hill from over here. And I'm trying to think of a third. I mean, George Williams hasn't necessarily pulled up trees, but our halves look very weak. As many people, you know, the surprising thing is, isn't it? Is for weeks we've been talking about building up to the World Cup. We can't play Sam Tompkins at fullback when we've got Zach Hardacre, and now we've got neither.
I know.
Tompkins is nowhere to be seen.
That
is
unbelievable.
Which, if we're picking Kevin Brown, who's, you know, not had a great 2017, and other people haven't had great 2017s, it seems bizarre that Sam Tompkins, the great white hope of British Rugby League, is nowhere to be seen.
Well, fire off a few of these names that are missing, then we'll get the legend. 46 Great Britain caps, he should know where it takes. Go on.
Watts, Makinson, Shenton, Ward, Tompkins, Eden, McShane, Shaw, Sneed, Ashurst, Gildart, young player of the year, nowhere to be seen. Is he off to play for Italy? Yeah. Maguire, I think that's pretty much it. Milner, how did Brown get selected? I've asked many people this evening. Liam Watts, I guess his temperament might have done him in for this one, his number of red cards. But there are some interesting things. I mean, Jamie Scholl, what more could he have done this year? I know he's an out-and-out fullback, perhaps. He's not rounded enough, people would say, to cover another position or whatever, but I would prefer Jamie Scholl to Johnny Lomax, but Jamie Scholl's not got one of those contracts, so...
I would have John Bateman. He's not had the best for me. I would have put Matty Ashurst instead of Bateman. I would have taken on Maguire's form, certainly for the last four or five games of the season. He hasn't retired from international football. I would have taken Maguire instead of Brown. Ratchford, I would have picked him. I would have gone for Jamie Scholl instead of Ratchford. And Chris Hill, I wouldn't have taken Chris Hill on form. And I know he's had a bit of a couple of moments this year being Liam Watts, but he likes to get ripped in and maybe change the flow of the game at times, so I would have gone for Liam Watts instead of Chris Hill. But what I'm finding as well with the squad from there at times, it seems to be like the Brian Noble era, to be honest with you. Some of these players are finding it harder to get out of that squad than what they do to get in, you know. And as I say, is it good enough to win the World Cup? It's certainly good enough to get to the final, but as I say, Australia's good. It's just going to be a matter of who's going to contest Australia in the final from there. But they would have been my four big selections. What wouldn't have been picked? Sam Tompkins, the other big debate, but I just don't think he's been good enough to be selected.
I'm pleased James Robey's back.
I think
big game temperament. I'm pleased Alex Walmsley's going to get his chance. I know that he went for the Samoa test and didn't play, but I don't think you can leave him out at the moment. So there are some positives in there. I think we're short on backs.
But also, when I look at that squad, my starting lineup then, it would be Lomax, McGilvery and Hall on the wings. The centres would be Watkins and Percival.
Although I think that's where he's going to play Curry by the sound.
Well, I'm putting Curry in the back row. My halfbacks, obviously, is Widdop and Gale. The front row then would be Sam Burgess, Josh Hodgson and Alex Walmsley. And the second row would be Whitehead, Curry and Lunch Forward or Lachlan. That will be my starting 30.
Roby coming off the bench.
Roby coming off the bench, without a doubt, yeah. And
what was your front row again?
Sam Burgess, Josh Hodgson and Alex Walmsley.
Whitehead.
Yeah, I've got them. Yeah,
Whitehead, Killian O'Loughlin.
Is Walmsley better coming off the bench? Or no, wouldn't you start with Scott Taylor maybe and put Walmsley off the bench?
I think Alex prefers it coming starting out, if I'm honest with you. I do.
Can Greg Eden count himself unlucky, scoring 40 tries and not getting anywhere near
the
squad?
I think what Wayne Bennett knows is that, I think as we found out the weekend, there's too many... There's too many mistakes in Greg Eden.
I think if you're going to pick Greg Eden, you have to pick Michael Shenton to play alongside him. I think that would be the issue. And there's no reason why you shouldn't pick Michael
Shenton. He must be gutted. Shenny must be gutted, mustn't he? Must be gutted. Got to be, surely.
Why have we only picked...
Two wingers.
Well, two wingers, two centres.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they might play Ben Curry and...
Bateman and Curry, but they're not... Bateman's not a centre. They're not the best centres we've got, are they?
Bateman's not a centre. No, no, and now he's a natural centre. Ben Curry's not a natural centre.
Bearing in mind that we thought Hardacre was going to be played as a centre as well, I just think we're light on backs.
Yeah, but we all thought Hardacre was going to be playing a centre because Tonkin was going to be full-back. So obviously Johnny Lomax now. Johnny Lomax now, he's going to be the number one, isn't he?
Widdup at full-back and Williams and Gale as the half.
No. Widdup, you know, Widdup just got the Daily M standoff in the NRL, so you've got to stick with Gareth Widdup there as number six. You know. So
would you have Williams on the bench?
No, you can't put him on the bench. No.
John's asked, with no Matty Ashurst in the squad, what more can the lad do? Sign for Warrington is the answer to that question.
He's been outstanding, hasn't he?
Again,
Ashurst.
How can only five players in the 24 play for the top three clubs in Super League?
And four of them come from a team which finished in the bottom four.
Well, obviously, as we know, Wayne Bennett doesn't want Super League, so he's come under recommendations, all his backroom staff,
is the coach of the team that finished in the bottom two.
Well, obviously, Kevin Sinfield, Jamie Peacock, Paul Sculthorpe, Paul Anderson, Dennis Betts.
One of those is the football director of a club in the Championship.
They're all, they're all his lieutenants They're all his lieutenants over here, so they've come on the recommendation from there, but I would imagine once I get out there, it'll be Bennett and his own coaching staff. He'll be coaching the players.
I'll be getting banned from this press conference tomorrow now. I'll be allowed in.
We'll make it quick then. We won't go.
No.
Save us a trip.
I think the most exciting thing about the World Cup overall is England is, I think, is it penultimate squad to formally be announced? I think Wales and Ireland have got to put in their final 24, maybe Lebanon have as well. So we're nearly at knowing the makeup of the competition, and it looks the most open World Cup we've ever had. I think what's happened this week has been fantastic.
You mean for the team to qualify for the final? There's only one winner, Phil.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but it's a special World Cup for legendary players, isn't it? So in the same way that, for example, Leeds wanted to send Maguire and Burrow out as best they could. Yeah. This is the last World Cup for Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater, and Australia are not going to let that go. So yes, it's who plays them in the final, maybe even who loses them to in the final. But are we as certain as we ever have been that the other semi-final is just going to be New Zealand against England, and Australia will play a Fiji like they played in the last two World Cups and beat them by 60 points? I think Tonga look really strong now with the defection of the New Zealanders, but particularly Taumalolo is the best forward in the NRL. I think Ireland have got a fantastic squad in terms of and really beefed up the pack with Singleton and Mullally from Leeds, with Amor, with McAlorum. I think, you know, you're looking at a team again that can seriously be thinking about at least making the quarterfinals. We've got Italy now. We've got the likes of Tedesco, Paul Vaughan, who both played in the Prime Minister's 13 for Australia, so they're of a standard. Jack Johns, who's Matty's son, is playing. Oliver Gildart. I'm just excited that
it's going to be great.
I'll tell you what, with all them names, they're all local lads, aren't they? Eh?
I'm shocked. Big Dave Fafita's missed out on the Tonga squad. That's the big shock.
What, with brother Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew's in there, but Big Dave, he's too busy climbing the post at Bellevue still. Paul's made this comment. This is actually quite funny. It's like a cut and paste squad from last year.
So I'm getting the feeling.
NFL sent the wrong email out this morning.
I'm getting the feeling here from the listeners that they're not too happy then with the squad. They're not excited about the squad. Tell you what, they go out on Thursday, don't they? Have they got a pre tournament game in Perth?
Playing the affiliated states.
Perth.
Yeah, right. That's like guys who play for South Australia, North Australia.
Right. Okay.
So it's the development states of Australia put the team together, and they're playing in Perth.
Okay. And what sort of side are we going to be putting? Are we going to be putting a good side, or are we just going to put provisional? Do we know?
Because it's got to be reasonable, isn't it?
I think
24.
It's got to be good.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. We've got to put a reasonable start, because he's got to start looking at the combinations, hasn't he?
Well, this is the worry, because he had three games last year. He picked a different one every time.
He didn't have a clue about his combinations, did he?
Who do you think? I know you've picked your team. Who do you think he'll go with at half back?
Oh, he'll go with Galen Widdop.
Do you think?
He's got to do.
Has
Saturday done for Luke Gamp? Some will be surprised he was called up for the squad after Saturday and his.
Well, he's been in and showed up best number seven in the competition, so he's got to be
picked.
Yeah,
but you've got to pay behind a pack that's going forward as well, which you would hope with the likes of Sam Burgess in it and Alex Warnes.
See, the big thing for Luke Gayle as well last year was Josh Hodgson just wanted to do everything. From a hooker point of view, he wouldn't pass the ball, and then when he decided to play loose forward, he was going at first man. Luke just couldn't take control, and Josh Hodgson just realistically thought, you know, he was an out of beats and Steve Norton and Ray Price all in one, didn't he? You know, so he suffered, did Luke, from that point of view. So Luke's got to be more dominant.
I think against Australia he might go with Widdop and Williams.
You reckon?
I think he might. I'm not saying I would, I just think he might.
Lots of comment on the squad. Surely the form brackets eligible fullback. No way that Ratchford and Lomax had more. I'd Brown over Sneed. I'm biased, but still. Would you pick Sneed over Brown?
I won't have either of them. Danny Maguire, simple as that.
Dean says, why no Wakefield players at Ashurst? But four Warrington players seems failure is rewarded. Shirley says, Wayne Bennett has just made sure with his squad selection that our hopes are a World Cup winner zero. Time he got his marching orders.
Well, any problem with saying that, Shirley?
With all that words like McDermott out, yeah. Plan it now. Get it on.
The only thing, as Gary knows, having a prediction, you don't always get them right. So if you all say, oh, they won't win, then if they win, that'll come back to haunt.
Hold on, have you got right in the prediction this year? You
know, I think the one thing, I'd like to think, Gary, right, that I did tell you at the start of the season that Cass would win the league leader's shield, which they did. So I did say that. I did tell you last year that Hull KR would get relegated, which they did. I did tell you that Bradford won't make the top four, which they didn't. So I think I'm doing all right. The week to week, Ruby. I'm not interested in that.
Just the bigs.
Only ones I'm interested in are the ones when I've put some cash on. That's the only ones I'm
bothered. Like the Leeds Rhinos, just turns up for the big occasion.
Hey,
John say, times his runs are perfect. Not that they don't.
Yes,
don't accept Brian.
Yes, but we win.
Tom wants his scarf back,
We win on the big occasions. We win on the big occasions.
Still upside down.
Anyway, they know what it is. It's a blue number, isn't it?
Leeds, of course, win on the big occasions, but sadly not when Scurry was playing.
Get a knock on that bell. That's a bit harsh, Richard Shaw.
Good job I'm giving him a lift, don't I?
We're looking forward to you celebrating your 30th anniversary winning the Yorkshire Cup next year anyway.
Yeah, big dinner.
Because I still think it's important. You don't think it is.
You're getting hammered here, Scott. I'll give you some. Richard's getting stuck in
well,
now.
Wowee.
It's an important competition.
Celebration of the Yorkshire
There's a big
Cup.
Dinner.
Wowee.
You'll be there for the big dinner. You'll be there.
I've got to get invited first.
He'd love a big dinner, Gary.
I'll get invited.
Congratulations, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kaplan, Chairman of Leeds Rhinos Foundation these days.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, when did this happen?
1st of September.
Look at that, eh? Do you not bring cakes in or arms now? Now you're a dignitary, do we not get some, you know?
It's my honour.
He'll be bringing in the Jaeger bombs next week, the way he fired them around the Christmas do.
Don't forget, Phil, first week he's gone, we're all off.
You're going out for that Chinese. Phil,
about 3 years ago. Yeah.
As soon as you're on the plane, texted, safely or gone.
Dean, like Andrew Fafita, has switched to allegiance. He's a Wakefield supporter who's now cheering on Ireland during the World Cup, up the Irish.
Well, Andrew Fafita's playing for Ireland, is it?
Oh, but Grix and Finn are.
Yeah, and James Hassan, my favourite player. John says, love listening to the Owl and RY debate, the England squad selections. It's like being thrown amidst an ancient Aristotelian discourse. What's that mean,
Phil? Phil, you'll have to explain.
Phil, come on, you're chairman of the foundation.
No, thank you.
Explain,
that
Phil.
Means.
Explain.
I think you said loving think, listening. We'll take that bit out of that.
I think it's a backhanded compliment, but I'm
is
not
it?
Sure.
Elsewhere on social media, Dave says, with none of you agreeing how to pronounce Hyington's name, maybe just call him Paul Hogan, brackets, another outdated Aussie. There's a reference for our younger listener. Nicola says, you say about Watt's temperament, but how many years did we take Adrian Morley? Ward being left out is a terrible decision, and Gildart.
I like Gildart. But
I do.
Shenton would have been in before Gildart for me, but if they'd have both been in, I would have been quite happy with that.
Ian says we should give the England job to the highest finishing English coach in Super League. This year, Powell's style of play would put some excitement in the World Cup. Would pick decent players in form too. Didn't win the grand final though. And Brian Mack's busy now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Americans spotted his worth, didn't they?
And they've picked a very USA actual...
Yeah, half of their team are domestic players, which is hopefully good for the development of rugby league in the USA, but more importantly, it takes us to the 2025 World Cup that we think they're still hosting.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, fingers crossed. Elsewhere, Paul says, we win when it matters, up the Rhinos. Oh, Paul, come on now. Who are they going to play in the World Club Challenge at Ellen Road at some undetermined date?
Leeds United.
That'd be great. That'd be good.
They're playing Unslet. They've put their hand up.
Well, they're the League One Shield winners.
Next year will be the 80th anniversary of Unslet playing Leeds in the Championship final.
Well, you see,
the biggest sporting event in the city of Leeds.
It'll be like a boxing world title fight. Come on, well, Unslet. Better come and bring their silverware.
Winner stays on.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Winner gets a place in
Bradford. Bradford women are waiting on the sideline to take on the winners.
I think that they've got their 10p on the slot. I think there is a big issue about the World Club Challenge, that we obviously value it as an event, and what we shouldn't forget when we look at if this season has been a memorable one or not is the fantastic performance by Wigan against Cronulla early in the season that saw them memorably win that. We've now got the ridiculous proposition that the RFL are issuing a statement today in the trade newspaper saying that we're hoping that the World Club Challenge will be played on the, 23rd, 24th of February. That's when it's earmarked.
Yeah.
And the two teams that made the grand final in the NRL saying we're playing a testimonial game on the Friday night for Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston. There's obviously, we're in negotiation, well, not much then, if the two teams that should be playing in a World Club series have already arranged a game amongst themselves that weekend. And we've got Hull and Wigan going over to Australia to play a pre-season friendlies against NRL sides, but we can't arrange a World Club Challenge between the two teams that finished top of their respective divisions. There is an issue about the World Cup and player burnout, and I can understand from a Melbourne point of view that some of their key players will be playing to December the 2nd, and they've got a whole protocol about when they come back in for pre-season training based on things like even their age, so they won't get Cameron Smith and Billy Slater back. Well, probably by February when this game's supposed to take place. But it's obviously not as enshrined as we, I think, thought it was. And Leeds are prepared to fly over to play it. But who are they going to play? The only team that it seems they possibly could will be Brisbane. But does it undermine the fact that they didn't even make the grand final?
Well, of course it does. You know, it's got to be champions against champions, hasn't it?
But Melbourne are playing on the weekend that we've already earmarked. So how does that work?
Interesting. Interesting. I do feel sorry for Nigel. He wants to promote the game, you know, the Great Britain coming back, etc., etc., but he doesn't seem to be getting much help.
Well, the only help he can get is if England do win the World Cup, because it's, 1972 since we last won a tournament? And you can see why the Aussies don't rate international competition as much as they should and why Origin has taken over, because we haven't beaten them in that time, so we do need to put on a show while we're out there.
Definitely. Go on, what else is happening, Rich? Social media.
Yeah, Hull Wigan's going to be a great show for them out there in Australia, isn't it, to really sell Super League. Mark says the World Club Challenge is nothing more than a jolly for the Aussie teams who fancy coming over and mean nothing even when Leeds have won it. Well, surely that's not the case.
I think Leeds and Manly, that was a sellout at Headingley, Leeds and Melbourne, and Leeds Canterbury 2005, 39,000 at Ellen Road, it meant a lot.
Yeah.
Sonny Bill Williams didn't mess about with Marcus Bye that night.
It's a chance to see different teams and a different fixture. You think, we've just come off a grand final in which it's the fifth time this year we've seen Casford played Leeds.
Yeah, it's too much.
We want to see different teams against different talents. What happens to Castlewood in the World Club Series?
Yeah, are they going to play? Castlewood, are they not getting a fixture in
Well, they're in it, aren't they? They're in it. They got it by winning the league leaders.
If PNG they get Hunters. Two teams.
Yeah, who do they look like playing, though? The runners-up, Queensland? North Queensland?
No, they're supposed to be playing Melbourne.
Right, so that's definitely been dated in their calendar, hasn't
Friday, it? The Friday of that weekend. Tickets
worrying.
Already on
South.
Sale.
Anyway, Mark, Richard Dillivers has been on, so if you just want to...
you want to give it a mention. You've got the tweet. He's coming in, actually, Rich, because what we've done...
Yeah, but you've got the name of the book
all
there,
right, all right, I'm on to it.
What we've done, actually, when you're not going to be here, we've actually lined up some proper guests to come in. Richard is going to be one of those proper guests who is coming in. And he's coming in to tell us about the 100 days that shook rugby league. Written by our friend Richard de la Riviere. And a foreword by Alex Murphy, OBE. So there's going to be some big tales, I'm sure, in that one. And it's going to be available for delivery mid-October. Quality paper, about 320 pages. And I think he's going to give us a copy or two to give away.
And he's got a book signing at Phil's. It's on Thursday, Phil, is it? Thursday
night? As far as I know.
Thursday night.
Provided the book comes in.
At Phil's bookshop, signing there Thursday night. So get your send down there and, yeah, it'll be a great read. Great stories.
Yeah, are you in there, legend? Are you in there?
I'd like to think so.
What were you being there for?
How did you shake the world?
Come on, surely that win over Australia.
Yeah, I think that's a one year in Melbourne.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Is that the only time you're in? What about that interception? Is that in?
I don't know. It'll text me. I don't know. I'll be in somewhere.
So you don't know?
I've been. I haven't read it yet. He'll send me one anyway. He'll send me one. A little bit disappointed, Richard. Why didn't he ask me to do the forward?
Straight to the index. Schofield.
Four words, Scotty. Don't mean just writing four words, you know. Yeah. You've got to write something.
I endorse this book.
Yeah. And he actually wants to sell some copies. So. You're getting a bit tonight. Like, when do you go away anyway? Is it next week you're away?
No. Two weeks of Wednesday. 25th of October, flight to the
Another book. 2 weeks then, eh?
Yeah.
Mm. You got next 2 weeks off, or...?
It's up to you.
Well, it's this bad news on Peter. He won't be watching when Scotty's not here. So
what?
Cheers, Peter. What's that, Rich?
Won't be the same.
What's that, Rich?
You've got a fan.
Who's it?
Peter. Says he's not going to be listening when the legend is abroad.
Cheers, Pete.
I think he'll be dialing in. He won't be able to stop himself.
What's going on?
While we're on air.
1980s mobile phone.
You're all right with that, won't you? What's that on page you got?
Yeah. Nokia 1985.
You can't see that big screen. How the hell do you see that?
I've got to take my glasses off. I've got to take my glasses off.
It's like an eye test. Can you read the top row?
I've got to. I'm like that. I've got to take my glasses off.
Gary's asked if Scotty's going to write a peas on toast recipe book. That's never going to end now, is it? That's going to be the millstone.
That'll be the Christmas meal.
Andy says, too many games for our boys. The Aussies aren't bothered about it. It's just to see if we're on their level. Never will be. Well, Wigan are the champions, the world champions.
Yeah.
Beat Cronulla and everything. I saw it on the telly.
Yeah.
How was the grand final assault and not the Challenge Cup final? Do the RFL have their priorities wrong? Asked Robert.
I think the grand final's an occasion. There were a lot of people going to that are not normal, they're occasional viewers rather than regular ones.
Yeah.
I think it's now in the sporting calendar. The great thing as well about the grand final is it seems to be on an international football weekend now.
Yeah.
So it is taking centre stage and... I think there are a lot of people who might otherwise be going and watching their favourite football
team.
It's in
Manchester, which to the average rugby league fan is not
that
far away.
But it's also not on a bank holiday weekend in August. It makes a huge difference.
Sky.
So does the fact you can get on the bus for a tenner or whatever.
Yeah, but you could still be on the motorway at 1:30 in the morning coming back.
Sky are very good at timing events. They do this with the darts for when there's no Premier League football. And the grand final is one of those things, and it means you can have amazingly two national radio stations covering the game, one of which had very good commentary, I understand, and one the comments on social media were less complimentary about, but I don't want to get into
it. I'll tell you what though, but what a great atmosphere it was. Didn't they make a noise,
didn't
they? When the both teams came out, what a noise they both
trophy
made.
Trophy presentation
they?
I thought was brilliant this year, putting a spotlight on the winners. And one of the things that does as well is it blocks out the empty stands where the fans of the team that have lost have gone. I thought that was just really good and dramatic.
I tell you as well, do you know all the flags what are put out? Do the RFL put that out? Mm-hmm. That's a great gesture, isn't it, for all the fans? Great gesture.
It adds to the colour, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you've got one,
brilliant.
One end completely orange, the other blue.
Yeah,
it's just fabulous. It's an event. It is a major social event. There were feature writers in the press box.
I noticed,
from newspapers.
Yeah.
Actual proper... proper people.
I tell you what as well though, but this is what we wanted in Super League for many, many years now, and the betting's come out next year, and Casper at the top, but and I say, if we were to say who's going to finish in the top four, even the top eight, I'll tell you what, this is what we wanted. Could you pick it?
No.
Could you pick who the top eight would be? Because
Wigan will be better. Warrington, we'd like to say, will be better. Saints will be more consistent. Huddersfield will be looking for consistency. You'd say Catalans maybe a little bit better from there. You could sling and hole there. Obviously,
Wakefield have set a benchmark.
Wakefield have set a benchmark. They put the marker down. Obviously, there's Leeds and Hull at Castleford. I'll tell you what, it should be real quality next year, shouldn't it?
I'm really looking forward to it already.
I know, no disrespect to Widnes and Hulkies and Rovers, you know, but... It's going to be a dogfight next year, isn't it?
I hope so.
It's going to be amazing.
Here's Daniel to bring the mood down. Living in Brisbane at the minute, he says. Oh. The Aussies have no interest in the Super League. Queensland Cup is more important. Well, it's a domestic thing. It's a local tournament. Yeah. I'm sure if you ask people in Hunslet whether they care more about the NRL or League One, they'd probably say...
But I still think Super League doesn't come across the radar of most of the Aussie fans because we just haven't been very good internationally.
Yeah.
You know, our best players are going to be picked off and play in the NRL, so they're going to see him.
It'd be interesting if England did actually manage to beat Australia in the World Cup final, what the reaction would be to meeting them on a yearly basis. Would you reckon?
I think it helps.
Oh, yeah, it helps. Because I was out there in 2008 when New Zealand beat them there at Brisbane. Oh, boy, did they sulk. I absolutely loved it. Did they sulk?
But what did
they
do?
They came with every excuse in the book. We all have a bit of a moan and a sulk now and then, but boy, oh, boy, do they sulk. They just think they're a God-riven right, and rightly so. You know, with their competition and the players, what they've got. But,
and all the ANZAC tests thereafter have gone up a level.
Yeah.
Because suddenly they're going, I don't need to turn up because I know my team's going to win. Now it's, the 17 that are starting for New Zealand, pretty much, that you know they might cause us some issues. So.
Mm. Good stuff.
On the World Club Series, Gary Carter says, Cass, I'm more likely to play a side like Brisbane in the World Club Series. Cass versus Brisbane at the Jungle. That'd be
all right, wouldn't it?
And I know they want to play at the Jungle. I understand the reasons why, but wouldn't it be more sensible to have a double header at Elland Road?
Good call.
Not if Leeds were in Australia at the time.
No. But not if Leeds are in Australia.
It won't be a double header then, would it?
I think
Phil?
The danger.
The danger
is we're not going to get two Australian teams coming over.
So what? If you don't mind,
New Zealand Warriors.
If I missed a trick, what are Wigan and Hull going out to Australia for? Then what are
playing
they
playing a Super League game?
Money.
Oh yeah, cash. Yeah, sorry.
Money.
Can't and then on. To play a friendly against Australian teams.
So are they playing a friendly first and then playing
afterwards? They're playing each other in Illawarra.
In a proper game, 2 points on the line and everything.
What, two Super League points?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're playing in our season in Australia?
Yeah. And then the following week, the two of them are playing at the same stadium, a doubleheader against two Australian teams,
during our season?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like how the NFL teams come over here for proper competition points. Yeah, they're going over there for that and the cash.
Interesting.
But mainly cash.
Spreading the brand.
Spreading the brand.
To a country that doesn't like our brand. Yeah.
That's never heard of rugby league. Opening up a new market.
Has there been a big sponsor coming and supporting this game? Was it the TV or whatever?
New South Wales Tourist Board.
So when are Hull and Wigan then going to catch up with their Super League fixtures then? Are they going to play midweek games or what?
They'll play a midweek game against each other.
All right.
So the return fixture will be allocated as if it was their round four fixture, which they'll miss coming back, and they'll play that either when they're out of the cup.
So Wigan and Hull, when they play, is a fixture. The week after is a friendly, so they're just missing 1 week, and so to catch up, they'll play a midweek and then
against each
catch
other.
Up. Right, okay.
Mm. Interesting.
How have they been allowed to get away with that then?
They just arranged it by the look of it.
All right, okay.
The phrase tail wagging dog springs to mind.
Oh, we'll just do what we want because there's more for it.
But that's taking South Sydney and St George out of the mix of teams that even could play in that World
Cup. Oh, so that's where they're playing, South Sydney and St George, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We are awaiting some tourist board to come and offer to take our show on the road, but sadly, none of.
Well, listen, it was Beirut tourist board.
How about we come to Melbourne?
No, no, I see enough of you. Get lost. But also, as well.
You said we could doss down on your floor. That's what you said.
No, I didn't.
That is exactly what you said.
No, I didn't.
Richard Shaw, I can share your bed.
Not a chance. Anyway, Malcolm Allison, the work of the director, I was speaking to him at the weekend as well. I said to him, what about us coming up just before Christmas? About the second week in December. So
Who's this?
Malcolm Allison, the work of the director, got up there.
We got invited in April.
I told you what it's like. It's useless. You know, I told you what we like organisation. But anyway. He said, so I said, we'll look at maybe the second or the third week in December. That's where we can have a Christmas party up there. We won't get back, January.
on. I was just getting lost in people getting very excited on Facebook about this, that, and the other. Apparently, and this is interesting news from John. Hull Kings and Rovers are signing three players from Lee. Who'd have thought that all these players that were going to lose their jobs because they lost the £1 million game have got employment at the team that's coming up? So all these players who are not good enough for Super League are getting jobs back in Super League. Well done to
Isn't that how promotion relegation works?
What do you think of Jordan Thompson got at Lee?
Yeah, strange.
I thought that's... you have to wonder, though, he's got to be hurt by two, getting left out of two cup finals. Yeah. That's got to... I won't say he's killed his love for the club, but it's got to be tested.
I always felt, though, that Radders rated him as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very surprised when
Solid
I saw that.
Player.
Yeah,
solid player.
Oh, he's definitely... Yeah.
Certainly not a Championship player.
No.
Although the Championship will, of course, be interesting because the spectre of 2019 and who may or may not...
Well,
it might be
the spectre of Salford.
Two teams promoted.
Might be hanging over because they're not guaranteed to be on the start line, are they?
How does that get managed, do you think? That they have to put forward a business plan whereby Dr. Kukash's idea of selling his shares to a trust is accepted by the governing body. But will a trust, which is essentially a charitable organisation, be able to take on a historic debt of £8 million and an additional CVA payment that's been delayed from 2013 when he took over the club, which will kick in at about £25,000 a month from January.
Yeah, so £300,000 a year. Can I ask a question? I might have been hiding somewhere. Where has the £8 million quid come from?
It's historic debt.
Historic from when? When John Wilkinson owned the club or from when Marwan owned the club?
I think that's what Marwan inherited. And it may have gone up a little bit because he'll always put money in.
£8 million quid is debt.
£8 million.
How has it been? I'm sorry, Salford fans. I know a lot of you listen.
But how has it been?
£8 million quid's worth of debt.
How has it been allowed to get that?
Well,
back?
Presumably he's guaranteed it. With his.
Are we sure
vast
that he's
fortune.
Not run some of that up?
He may well have done, but he is alleged to have put in £6 million of his own money, and the debt is still £8 million.
So a £14 million debt overall they've had?
Signed a lot of players and sold a lot of players who they terminated their contracts. There's issues with the rent at the AJ Bell Stadium as well. That's going up.
So they don't want them there then, do they?
I don't know. I mean, Sale are looking to buy it. I don't know whether they...
No, but
would,
I mean, Salford...
We'll just ask it if to retire from...
Would relish Salford as
games.
A tenant, but I'm not sure that Salford could afford to pay any more than they're currently paying, which I think a new landlord
would
want to do.
Well, weren't Sale wanting to buy the club? I understood Sale wanted to actually buy the club, didn't they? Therefore, they've got a use for their... If they buy the ground and the rugby, they've got a use for their own ground 24/7.
But they have to service £8 million worth of debt and £300,000 a year kicking in from January.
Yeah. Just bust them and start again on.
Well, the thing is, if they were liquidated, worst case scenario, that some of the creditors that weren't now going to be repaid, having waited for 4 years, said, well, that's it, you know, we'd rather have a penny in the pound somewhere down the line than wait any longer. Presumably because of the experience of Bradford going into liquidation and how that has now haunting the RFL with this court case that may or may not get some resolution this week. That if another club now goes into liquidation, there's going to be no chance of helping them. If they're coming back, they're starting in League One as a new club. Presumably that means, let's say that happens, and we're not saying it will, that Lee then, you would imagine, would be asked to remain in Super League. And then you would think that word would have been had with Oldham, who are gearing up, including re-signing their coach, for a year in League One. And that they would go to Bradford and say, as we used the excuse that it was expedient for the game for you to be in the Championship, you can remain in the Championship. And that may explain some of Bradford's recruitment at the moment.
Gemma Carter's asked us to stop talking about Salford. I think she's going to be sad now.
You know, we say it as it is. We're worried. Are you worried? You must be.
Got to be. Hey, got to be.
Talk of mergers as well in the Manchester area that may or may not involve Salford, Manchester Rangers, possibly Lee.
Possibly
Swinton.
Swinton.
Oldham,
don't forget Martin Kellner. Lots of different questions on different things as we head towards the end of the programme. John's asked us, People keep saying this is off topic. No, you can ask whatever you want about rugby league. This is the name of the programme.
Yeah.
How does a player qualify for a special contract? Unfortunately, Johnny can ask his questions, but we don't always know the answers.
Yeah.
Look good in a scrum cap. I think it's one of those. Christine,
ambassadorial, they call ambassadorial. It, don't
I tell you what as well, I said earlier, is
Haffrero Rochers.
Any of our listeners a little bit sad about Finn Barton passing away on Emmerdale?
Yeah. Well, they've gone off to watch
I must admit, I was a bit shocked. I do watch Emmerdale.
Yeah, no.
I was a bit shocked.
I was upset, I was upset.
Were you upset? Why?
Of course.
He's a nice lad, isn't he?
I liked him as a good actor, and tears coming down my cheeks.
Is it still based on a foul?
Eh?
Yeah, well,
it's
sort of loosely.
Very sad.
How's Annie?
I'm sure most of our listeners will be watching Emmerdale, and very sad that Finn got killed off last week.
Mm. Amos Brilley, is all right?
Move on, Phil. Move on.
You're in danger. You're in danger there. You get a left hand off Scully.
Mr. Wilkes. Christine says, what do you think of them not choosing an English coach at Wire?
I don't think they ever had any intention of, did they?
No, no.
When the chief exec flies off to Australia, you ain't appointing an English coach.
No, and also, sure, the great thing about it as well, they took the recommendation of Wayne Bennett. Had great advice from Mr. Fitzpatrick or Kirkpatrick, who's Carl, isn't it? Is it Fitzpatrick or Carl? He's
no, Kirkpatrick was the referee, you didn't get on with.
Carl Patrick. Once got chased off Bellevue with a woman with an umbrella in a great incident from the mid-90s. Bad incident from
the mid-90s. I'll tell you what, you don't need to be a referee to get chased off... Bellevue, a woman with an umbrella, but the recommendation from Wayne Bennett. Well, that's what the Aussies do, don't they? They look after their own, and if they.
Who would
and if anything what they say will agree.
If was it Paul?
It was Christine who asked that one.
Who would be your choice of British coach?
Who fought Warrington?
If it wasn't an Aussie.
Hendo is.
Is he ready?
He's an Aussie.
Yeah, he is ready.
Hendo's an Aussie.
He's born in Torquay.
He's one of the good Aussies. He's one of the all right.
Good kid, Hendo Anderson.
Played for Scotland.
He is a good lad, yeah. He wants to get me playing the right way and play with a smile on the face. Yeah, I like Hendo. Yeah, he's a good kid. Mm.
Would he be a good first team coach in Super League?
Oh, yeah,
he might be listening as well.
Served his apprenticeship.
Yeah, I don't.
He does listen in, he tells us.
I don't have an issue with Hendo whatsoever. Yeah, go get one, son. Because he plays the right way. He wants to play the right way, doesn't he? Yeah. Let the players express themselves and play with that smile on their faces.
Yeah, good stuff. Come on, what are you laughing at? Don't chuckle, read them out. RL on RY.
Richard says, Schofield is a liar over Liam Finn. I'm getting confused now. Over Finn off of Emmerdale. Oh. He was more gutty when the Smiths Arms went.
Well, that might be true as well. Did you shed a tear?
Shed a tear, well, good. No, what do you mean? I'm like, hold on. They talk about that Mondays. It wasn't just me in there. There were her and there were Dave Waller, a big guy, Nick
Smith. What about Stoggies?
Yeah, Stoggies at Town Hall Tavern and Garnet.
Richmond.
I'll tell you what, on a Sunday night, the Smith's Arms and then the Waterloo up there, and we all finished up in the Richmond for a bit of a dance and all that sort of thing on a Sunday night. Brilliant, great nights.
TC's.
Yeah. It's all alcohol.
They do a bus tour, like an open top bus tour of the old haunts of Gary Schofield.
They're all closed now.
They've all got blue plaques.
The Town Hall Tavern's still open, the Garden Gate's still open, Stoggy's
has Smith's
gone.
Down, didn't they?
Smith's has gone, TC's has gone. TC Sons, the chief exec at Keighley. Neil Cullen. The old haunts. They've all gone, but no. What do you mean, Finn? I was good. I wasn't. Honestly, I'm a liar. When the Smiths Arms,
Shirley's been able to clarify what's happening at Salford. She says the supporters' trustees not to run the club; it is to assist whoever is the board of trustees being appointed by.
Worth noting at this point is my understanding the RFL have not regarding Salford have not been advised of any of this. Mm-hmm. So it basically hasn't happened, and it isn't happening at the moment.
Bilker says, regarding the World Club Series, an international governing body with teeth needs to be created to produce a proper calendar. We've no international plan between World Cups yet. It holds our sport back massively.
Could it be
a mystery person?
The problem is, though, if that's going to happen, Bilker, then the facts are, given how much money's in their game, we're going to have to match up with them, which means shortening our season.
Absolutely. That's the thing.
That is the one big thing. If that happened, I am sure they would say, right, cool, let's do it.
Yeah.
If we were playing at a time that was more convenient for them, because they're a month away from starting their competition, they'd be keener
incorporate. But the big issue is we're not going to shorten our season, are we? Because financial reasons. It's not going to be shortened, is it? That's the problem.
Mm.
We need the revenue. That's why we play so many games.
When we've got 14 teams in the Super League... And no eights, presumably. Is that an opportunity to slightly foreshorten the season?
Yeah, of course it is.
Does that include Hamilton and New York?
Hamilton Academicals.
Yeah, maybe people have got confused. I think it's Hamilton, home of the Tiger Cats in Ontario, but really it's Hamilton, home of Academicals from Scottish football, who are joining Super League. Mm-hmm. Got a stadium. Can't remember what it's called.
Boston.
Eric,
you're getting some hammer on social media here, Ledge.
There's lots of talk about pubs in Leeds I've never heard of.
Well, yeah. Chris wants to know when you're going to start walking around Asda with a smile on your face. and Graham said, when the lager's on special offer. another Steve says, what about the Norland in Hull going?
Oh, Norland, yeah, Norland at Top House. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Norland at Top House. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian said we should have 14 teams playing each other twice.
Norland at Top House.
Yeah. And lots of people getting stuck in, which is good. If you ever get stuck into score, you've got about 11 minutes. In fact, if loads of you get into it, it might sound a bit longer to get them all in.
Is next week the last opportunity before the World Cup?
No, he's got two more, he says.
No, next week and then that's it, isn't it?
Oh, is it? All right, okay.
Yeah, I've got another.
Oh, just one more then?
Yeah, he's still waiting for England.
Right, lads, next listeners, 2 weeks on Monday, we'll all be going out after the show.
Next week, because I go on the Wednesday, but the Monday, I'm led to believe going out for a drink with family or so, whatever, I don't know. But anyway, I'm not here that Monday.
Have we got a special guest next week?
Yeah, Mark Campbell next week. The Feverson chairman next week. That'll be interesting. Phil, don't be talking about no relegation and no money bonuses because you'll
straight out through that window.
Alex, I don't know if these windows open, so you'll be all right.
I don't think it'll matter.
Alex lives in Hamilton, Bermuda. He thought we were getting a rugby league team from Melbourne. Bermuda,
you
a bit
might be
Bermuda.
Doing. You might be doing.
Elsewhere, John's asked, do you think the ladies' grand final should be shown on TV? Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Right,
I guess it's like the championship, if we're going to be honest. Yeah. Is the money there to do that?
I think it will. They're hoping increasing it to 8 teams next year. I think Sky are talking about filming the games that are double headers with the men's Super League games, and I don't know if they're going to show them live or then show them as a highlights package, but if they can get up to a quality threshold and clubs are prepared to allow the women's game to precede the men's, that Sky will film them.
Well, the ladies in the World Cup as well, it's their World Cup exactly the same when this one's on, and they're having their World
Double
Cup
header final.
Suncorp, which is the old Lamp Park, so that's a great occasion for
them. Wow. 10 Bradford Bulls players in the squad.
They are, yeah. I tell you what,
from Fev, one Castleford.
I tell you, I've watched quite a bit of that women's rugby league. I tell you, do they get ripped in?
You gave a prize away in 1995.
Yeah, I gave it to Keith. It was at Keith. And do you know what, as well? They said, we want your dressing room score. You're going to have a couple of pints. You what? I said, well, I'll have some. I don't mind a drink or whatever. I tell you, I couldn't handle them. I was in there for about an hour and a half, and I thought, I can't drink anymore. They were great atmosphere. One of the best atmospheres I've ever been in the dressing room.
And they didn't hold back with a tackle in that afternoon either, did they?
Oh, brilliant.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's a fabulous game.
It is. Oh, but they are totally committed. Mm-hmm. They are. I did a presentation for the Army as well a few years ago down in Kent. Did their presentation night for them, the ladies, and tell you, they will be for sure. They not just enjoy it, but they love it. Absolute love it. And it's a credit to them.
And
it
the skill is, level the skill is really, level. Really
the
high.
The skill level is sensational. And a credit to the coaches who are coaching these ladies. Mm. A credit to them because they do play with a smile on their face and they play with that vision and awareness. Well done, girls.
Yeah, good stuff. Highlight of careers, I'm sure, being picked to go represent your country
fantastic.
In the World Cup in
absolutely
Australia.
Fantastic.
There's not many people
and
can
that
say
is gonna,
they've done that.
And that is going to be tough because the Aussies and the Kiwis have some players who are full-time professionals, so that is a massive challenge for them.
People are now suggesting pubs Scoy would have liked that are now closed, including one in Warrington. The Prince of Wales in Warrington, says Bob. Nick says, I think Del at the Waverley Hotel in Workington is getting you a stairlift fitted because he's sick of the locals carrying you up to your room. There we go.
He's not denying it again, is he? Not denying it, Schofield. Don't be bringing us down to your level here when we're going away.
Hey, listen, people, whenever I do my presentation, whether it's in Yorkshire, Lancashire and Cumbria, you know the old saying, what goes on tour stays on tour. Yeah, I've had great nights at the Waverley.
John's asked if you're any good on karaoke.
Brilliant.
Have you heard him sing on there?
Love is all around. Wet, love is all around. I can give you
thanks. Okay. Yeah, you're good, thanks. Yeah. Mark wants to know if everything revolves around your holiday plans. Yeah, well, yeah, it does. Yeah, really. You know, you're our marquee signing. Not sure why, but you are.
Marquee signing the same way that I won't name players. Ross has asked if I once got passed up for a job at the BBC. Been wondering this all year. No, but two Super League clubs.
Yeah.
It's true.
Costs too much, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy says, do you think the Rugby League should buy the George Hotel and develop it into a Hall of Fame? Talking about the history of the game with Andrew Marmont yesterday, who popped in to talk about his book, Their Finest Hour, out now in Phil's bookshop.
Signed copies.
Some Scully by him. Scully signed them as well. Listen to yesterday's podcast. And we talk about, you know, the history and how we almost don't do enough for the history of the game. And as we mentioned last week, we're doing great to see the retiring players walk out of the grand final at some point in the
season. I think that's something that'll start happening.
They've got to, because it would lend to the occasion.
Yeah, it would. It'd build it up before.
And it's not like at Wembley where there's another game on beforehand. You can tailor that timetable to, you know, before Stuart McConey starts his Northern Soul set, you get all the old players out. Rather than do it at the Man of Steel dinner, which is great for them, but not enough people see it.
It's not public,
70,000 fans need to see that and cheer Adrian Morley or whoever it might be.
We've got to celebrate more of the history of the game, haven't we?
Starting a little bit.
We've got to do more of it.
All right.
It is.
Good stuff.
Elsewhere, Wayne's already booked his hotel for next year's grand final. Great spectacle for our game. Great banter this year between Leeds and Cass fans.
Is he a Leeds fan or a Cass fan?
No,
I think we have to commend the RFL for getting a sellout, second sellout in 3 years.
I think they do the big occasions really well, but is that a sign of that we are starting to?
Yeah.
It's an occasion.
It's
a cumulative thing
because you don't know who the finalists are going to be until 6 days before, so you can't 100% rely on knowing
support.
Who's going to be there. Mm. You're buying your tickets in the knowledge that you're going to be part of a great event.
And what is interesting is at the start of the week they were saying we might get 65,000, and it sold out.
But also as well, I think the stadium itself just makes it, doesn't it?
It's a fabulous arena.
Old Trafford just makes it, doesn't it?
We could do with a tiny bit more at the in-goal areas, but apart from that.
Oh, yeah, when Briscoe.
I'm surprised they don't put pads on or get the ball advertising on pads.
Yeah.
Because that is really.
It drops away really quickly as well.
As Brian's pointed out, was it a sellout due to having a different club there? I think if it had been the nightmare scenario for many of Leeds Saints, would it have been as big a crowd?
I think all of those neutrals that were there, and there were a lot of neutrals. I mean, I don't know what each club would have sold, but let's say just nominally they sold.
We knew it was down to five or six, and we're happy to.
Leeds and Cass sold 20,000 each. There's 35,000 fans that have bought tickets, irrespective of who the teams are. That's
did
a fabulous.
Sell that many?
I don't know if they did, but
I'd have said the RFL have sold more.
That's a terrific base to work from on an annual basis.
It is.
People have asked why Leeds didn't have a homecoming as Cass did yesterday. Because logistics, isn't it?
It's purely down to the stadium. The Millennium Square wasn't available, so it would have had to have been at Headingley. Most of Headingley now on the rugby side is already sectioned
knocked
off.
Down.
And it was just purely a health and safety thing that you couldn't get people in the ground and stewarded.
So it wasn't
building work going on.
It wasn't a snub to the fans.
Believe me, they wanted it.
Oh,
they would have sold shirts and beer on the back of it. They would have had it if they could, but they were told that the stadium wasn't safe for that.
I'm sure the Cass fans had a good time yesterday afternoon in the rain at the jump.
All right. How did the Wakefield on top bus tour go?
Well, it's been delayed for another year. It's coming back when we win at Wembley to celebrate 50 years since not winning the Waterspot final.
Right, come on then. The grand final has gone.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Who's going to be in the grand final for 2018? Come on then. Who's going to be 2018?
Do we know all the recruitment?
Phil, let's not go into that as yet. Come on, let's make our predictions.
Let's guess quick.
I'm going for
6-7.
I'm going for Hull and Leeds next year. Leeds and Hull next year for me.
Phil,
I think St Helens and Hull.
To celebrate 10 years since that great final. Yeah, Saints and Hull.
Yeah, that's remarkable, I thought. So I've got to go for someone different. So I will go...
Oh, Wakefield, sorry. To celebrate 50 years since we last won it.
I don't know.
Wakefield Saints.
I think Saints are going to go well next year.
I just think Cass have got a real issue about replacing Zach, and it's not going to be easy because the players
aren't
out
there. Well, Hull have got a real issue about replacing Gareth Ellis, but you said they're going to get to the final.
Mickey Payer's coming back.
Right,
okay. Yes.
Not a patch on the guard.
And Bob said wire, because it's always their year. And
it is.
Maybe next
2018.
Year. Just like the last one. It's always their year. Wigan Wakefield says Chris. Oh.
Oh, Chris.
You're right, wasn't it?
Who's that?
Get him drug tested.
Yeah. Who's he saying?
Wigan Wakefield. Yeah.
Wigan will never get.
As we were joking in the press room,
has he been in boozer?
Salford and Wakefield, the record attendance for the grand final. No one's here.
Oh, hey, come on, we'd be there. Us four would be there. Yeah. Come on.
Radio
right.
Salford.
Is that it? Are we nearly done?
Yeah, I think so.
Any
unless
more for
Yeah, pretty much. People saying, you know, and here's the thing, as David has said, let's stop mourning who's been picked and get behind them who have. Come on, England, let's
absolutely
win the World Cup. Yay.
Yeah.
Come on, England.
I agree.
Come on, England.
Come the 27th of October, we'll all be singing the song.
Come on, England. I'm there at the opening ceremony. I'm leading the flag. I'm leading the flag. I'm
if you get arrested, do not ring us up.
What for, carrying the flag?
Well, it's where you're more probably being naked or something like that. Because remember, if you said if they win it, you're going to run naked on the pitch. That's what you said.
Some call.
Aren't you doing some sort of challenge?
Me and Dave Woods are going to be doing a challenge, hopefully. If he takes it up, I think he'll bottle it, to be honest with you.
No, he's up for it.
But I'm up for it.
What's this, a run or something?
100 metre sprint. Dave Woods keeps going that he's a fitness fanatic and rowing machine. I just said, hey, listen, let's do a 100 metre sprint half time.
Which one?
Sub Corp Stadium, World Cup final.
Well, that's it. We're done. We'll see you next week, Garrett. We'll see you next week, Phil. Richard, thanks to everyone that's got in touch tonight. We are back with more. Download the podcast. 127 odd thousand people. Can't be wrong, surely.